Hi, friends. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Good Morning Family, a podcast of my weekly sermons. Who knows? Maybe I'll throw in a special sermon for you every now and then. I hope this podcast is good news for you. If you find these words helpful, please rate and review my podcast on iTunes or on whatever host you found it. Thanks for your help and for being part of the family. And now, here's this week's sermon. Listen and enjoy. Good morning, family. Thanks for joining me. Today is the second Sunday in Lent. Why do Christians observe Lent? Why do many of us fast? Because most of us have just about everything we could ever need. Most of us want for nothing or for very little, and that is toxic to the human soul. We were not created for independence. We were created for dependence. And observing Lent can help us get that back. Lent is the season of 40 days, except Sundays, that prepares us for Easter. During Lent, Christians all over the world fast from something they are accustomed to having in order to draw nearer to God, to remove the distractions that prevent us from experiencing God. Sometimes, in order to grow, we must take away something that we're used to. We must force ourselves to struggle a bit. We must learn to rely on God. Lent gives us the opportunity to put ourselves in a place where God can finally get to us, a place where we are not all armored up, protected, and defensive. We strip away some of the strength we count on a little too much and let God in. During Lent, we allow God to mess with us. We invite God to use our weakness to teach us where He wants to build strength. It's an important aspect of our spiritual journey, and that's the real focus of Lent. We have lessons to learn, but we won't learn them by watching TV. We have deep hungers we will never satisfy if we keep stuffing ourselves with food. We have deep deficiencies that we will never face until we sit alone in the dark and wait for those demons to show up. That's why we observe Lent. So why do Christians fast during Lent? Because most of us have just about everything we could ever need. We are fat and happy, and that is not good for the human soul. We need to go without for a while and tap into the deep well of strength that can only be found in Jesus. So this Lenten season, we are looking at Jesus in the Gospel according to Mark, with a little help from John. Today, let's hear what Jesus has to say to us in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Hear the word of the Lord. After calling the crowd together with his disciples, Jesus said to them, "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them. But all who lose their lives because of me and because of the good news will save them. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What will people give in exchange for their lives? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this unfaithful and sinful generation, the human one will be ashamed of that person when he comes in the Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The other day, I discovered the story of a man named Henry David Jardine. David Jardine was born into poverty in Canada in the year 1843. His family soon moved to Rochester, New York, where he grew up. But as a teenager, he made some bad decisions and did some bad things. And as a result, David Jardine ended up in prison. After serving his prison sentence, Jardine felt God calling him into the ministry, and he became an Episcopalian priest. He moved to the Midwest, and as a priest, he started and pastored a thriving local parish. He also began a hospital, St. Luke's Hospital in Kansas City. He founded an order of teaching nuns, He also started a parochial school, and he was working on establishing a college when he died. Throughout his journey, David Jardine gave all the money he earned to aid in the health and care of others. As a constant reminder of his own sinful nature, he wore a homemade chain around his waist. Even though he consistently and selflessly served and gave to others, most of his priestly peers thought he should never have been ordained. Why? Because, among other things, he did not come from a respectable or wealthy family. Somehow, David Jardine rose above the rejection. He overcame the misunderstanding of his spiritual practices, and he centered his identity on being a disciple who followed Jesus. This man came into the world in poverty and died with no worldly goods. But he did have a profoundly deep faith, an undying commitment to Jesus, and he left a legacy of care for others. I'm told he was buried in a pauper's grave. However, a century later, the parish, the hospital, the order of nuns, and the school he started are still flourishing. David Jardine embodied the words of Jesus from our gospel lesson today. All who want to become my followers must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. The call to discipleship is a gift that Jesus offers to each of us. But what does being a disciple mean? I know we talked about this a few weeks ago, but today I'd like us to do a deeper dive. You may remember a month ago when we saw Jesus calling his disciples to follow him. That's when we defined discipleship as being in the same way with your teacher. A disciple of Jesus, then, is one who lives the same way as Jesus lives, someone who does life with Jesus, a companion of Jesus. Today, let's unpack this idea of discipleship, of being in the same way as Jesus. I want us to think about discipleship as not just following Jesus or traveling with Jesus, but as living with Jesus, or better yet, living in Jesus. Here's what I mean. All throughout the Gospels, we find equivalencies, let's say, between being a disciple and finding a new home. In John's Gospel, Jesus is the Word of God who came into this world and pitched his tent among us. He made his home here. When the first disciples met Jesus, they asked him, "Teacher, where do you live?" Jesus responded by inviting them to come and stay in his home. So, following Jesus means changing places. It means entering a new place and living in new company. And the full meaning of this unfolds as we move through the Gospels. And we begin to see that Jesus invites people to live with him in the same house, but he is the house. When we come to the evening before his crucifixion, gathered with his friends in the upper room, Jesus says, "Make your home in me as I make mine in you. Whoever remains in me, with me in him, bears fruit in plenty." When we live in this divine dwelling place, we are enabled and empowered to be disciples of Jesus. And we can be in the same way as Jesus when we live with and live in Jesus. Living in Jesus gives us peace. Dwelling in Jesus gives us the confidence we need, the safety and security we need to live as his disciples and to say no to ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. So how do we move into this house of love, the house of Jesus? Well, first we must believe that Jesus is who he says he is and that he will do what he said he will do. Are his words true? Are his teachings genuine and authentic? Can you take him at his word? Do you believe? If we believe, then we must trust Jesus. Let's pause here to point out that trusting does not necessarily mean understanding, okay? Now, if his words are true, then we can rely on him even if we don't understand. He says he loves you. He says he forgives you. Do you trust him? So if we believe Jesus and trust Jesus, then it is safe for us to admit our sin to Jesus. We can surrender our guilt and our fallings, failings, and foibles to him, trusting that he is love and will not turn us away. Instead, he promises to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to invite us into his house to live in him and he in us, to dwell in love and to live lives of loving obedience to Jesus. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave his disciples tasks to do in his name. He does the same today. Jesus invited his disciples to be his most intimate friends, to believe him, to trust him, to make their home in him. And he invites us to do the same today. It's important to note here that Jesus never gave up on his disciples. In spite of all their weaknesses, and because of their faithfulness after Jesus' death and resurrection, you and I are here today hearing again the good news of Jesus, saying the prayers for everyone, participating in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The disciples spread the good news. We, as disciples of Jesus, are also called to spread the good news. Will you devote yourself to the task? Will you tell others that Jesus is trustworthy and true? Will you devote yourself to telling others the good news that God loves each and every one of us, no matter what? Let's pray. Good and gentle God, thank you for loving us and for calling us to your side through Jesus Christ. May our lives be fruitful. Help us to speak words that speak of your infinitely tender love and sing of joy and seek only peace. Give us feet that walk the extra mile, hands willing to embrace, and hearts that are both patient and compassionate. In short, help us to live and love like Jesus. We trust you. We believe you. We consecrate and dedicate our lives to you. As the pandemic continues, we pray for those battling COVID-19. We ask for healing and help and protection. We are tired and worn out. Give us strength and wisdom to navigate these trying days. And now, using the words debts and debtors, let us pray with boldness the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me today. Now, your job this week, as you live in the house of Jesus, is to love at least three people, but make sure at least one of them doesn't deserve it. Why? Because that's what Jesus did, and that's what his disciples do, right? Because everyone needs love. And everyone needs to know that God loves them, no matter what. Don't let these trying and frustrating days rob you of your joy. With Jesus, we always, always, always have hope. Now receive these words of benediction. The Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and grant you his peace. Amen. Amen.